For this segment of the How We Believe series, we're visiting about a section of the book titled The Treasure Hidden in a Field. The section we are visiting about now is the Revelation of God. I'm Alan Pearness, and I'm visiting with Yoko Hapsari. Yoko lives together with his wife in Minnesota and is a member of the Rockford congregation. Welcome, Yoko. Thank you for having this visit with me. The subsections of this section that we're going to visit about now are the discussion on the authority of the Bible, and then also about the Bible's origins. If you are reading these sections in your Treasure Hidden in a Field book, they're found on pages 20 through 23. So I will read kind of the key points of this discussion on the authority of the Bible, and then also moving directly into the Bible's origin. Questions about whether the Bible is truly God's word and still authoritative are not new. Since the beginning, people have challenged the authority of the Bible and the authority of God's word. Modern critical scholarship and resistance to authority have caused many to doubt Scripture. The section argues that human reason alone is insufficient and that people still need God's word revealed to them. So this was kind of the summary of this section of this book. And then there's a lengthy section on the Bible's origin, which is very interesting to read, of how the Bible was put together. But kind of a summary of this was that the Bible was written by human authors under the guidance of the Holy Spirit over many centuries. It was first transmitted orally, then written, copied, preserved, and collected into the canon. Manuscript discoveries such as the Qumran show that copying was remarkably accurate. Though translated many times, God has preserved his message. The Bible is both divine and human. So, as it is even stated, that it's God's word expressed in human language. When we consider this discussion around the authority of the Bible, it, of course, doesn't surprise us that the discussion would be there even from Jesus' time. They questioned his own authority. And we know that God's word tells us and reveals to us through the Holy Spirit that Jesus is the word made flesh. So that questioning Jesus' authority is questioning the authority of the Bible. And that those who questioned his authority, they were coming at it from their own place of darkness and their own place of their own understanding. And so we see how this continues today, is that those who are on the outside of God's kingdom and those who wrestle with these topics, that they want to find in their own mind and in their own place of reasonableness, is how can we have proofs of the word of God? And there are people who even make their life's work into proving the word of God. And for a child of God, these aren't necessary to see proofs of God. They're interesting to some people to see these, but these don't inspire faith. They don't inspire us to put our sins away in the name and blood of Jesus. But they do inspire some to even seek God when they can see how God's word doesn't fight with nature. God's word doesn't fight with history. But it's also important to remember what the word of God is. Not specifically the word of God, but the Bible, the written word of God. That it isn't, as some have tried to use it as a science book, as a health book, many different ways they try to use it. But we've often heard it said in this way, and I felt great comfort that the word of God written in the Bible, that it is It is a record of salvation history. Yoko, when you reflect on even some of the discussions we've had in recent years about Bible translation, what have been your comforting thoughts on the authority of the Bible and discussions around the authority of the Bible, and then also around the Bible's origins?
First, I would ask, do we really believe that God is God? So, if we start doubting God's divinity, God's abilities, all kinds of doubts surround us. But if I believe that God is God, why can't He at first give the word that is His will? And secondly, why can't He keep it intact enough in the midst of changes of time and methods of conveying it and all the translations that it would not contain His will? And I believe that God has been able to, of course, easily to protect His word from being turned into something else than it was and is. So to me, Bible still is God's word. It conveys to me His will, and it conveys to me enough of history that I understand how I have been saved by Jesus Christ, and how in Him I have the forgiveness of my many sins. So it's so interesting to think about how the devil wants to put the word of God under doubt. And if that happens, everything else falls apart. I once was asked by an unbelieving person, do I really believe in the flood? And this person was quite surprised that I said, yes, I do. And I didn't think about it more then, but later I realized how Jesus, when He spoke of the last times and the signs of last times, He took Noah as an example. So if I had denied that I don't believe in the flood, I would have lost Jesus also. The hole would have become so big that everything that is important to me and faith would have fallen out from that. So if Jesus believed in the Bible, why wouldn't I?
Yes, I thought of that exact example that Jesus speaks of the time of Noah in when he is using the examples. So the anecdotes or the stories that are revealed from time that we don't have a place to order them on a calendar, but we know they happened as God's word reveals that they happened. I think of also the time of Job. We don't know when the time of Job was. It's an ancient story. But yet the teachings in the book of Job, they reveal something that is very, it echoes throughout humanity, throughout the millennia. Every generation experiences the same need to trust in God. And Job's life happened. It's recorded as it happened. And we can trust that this is according to the word of God, and it doesn't bring into question then the authority of it if we can't place it into exact human times. I've thought of how this that those who have wanted to prove the infallibility of God's word with their own mind, that they found some interesting things. And one of the things that I've remembered is that even when God allowed the sundial to go backwards for, was it King Ahaz or whatever king it was in the time of the kingdom of Israel? he allowed this to be recorded in other recordings as well, that in Babylonian history, it's recorded of a time when the sundial went backwards. So we can see that God's word doesn't fight with anything. Physicists have pondered through the generations of how could this happen, but yet it did, and they noted it in other areas too. I thought of this discussion around the Bible's origin and how the Bible was put together, and how Juhani Ulias wrote in this book. And I'll just highlight this one passage, that there were two bases for selection in the New Testament canon. That first of all, the writings needed to be of apostolic origin, and secondly, it had to have been used in the teachings and the divine worship of the congregation from the beginning. So that the Bible that has been compiled into the what we call the canon, it had these criteria for selection of the books that were in the Bible and the writings that were there. And I thought of how it's secure for God's congregation today to hear the same teachings from God's word that were presented to the early congregations in their time, that the letters were circulated, they were read, the teachings of Jesus, whether it's we're reading them from a scroll of the Gospel of John written in Aramaic, or whether we're reading it from the NIV translation in English, it contains the same message. Do you have any thoughts on this, that how remarkable it is, or have you thought about this, of how God has preserved the message throughout the translations?
The Almighty God, I believe, created everything what we see around us, both visible and invisible. And that is something that goes beyond our understanding. So why couldn't the same God do this seemingly more simple thing to keep his word intact? And when I saw from one of your videos that you sent to me, when you kept service in a foreign country where the translator read the text in the language that didn't mean anything to me, when I thought that those of my sisters and brothers in that country listened to that Bible text, it conveyed exactly the same message to me, what they heard. Or I can read either in English or Finnish. It's so wonderful that God has kept his word for us and had given wisdom and strength to people to translate his word into so many different languages that it still works its miracles in people. And secondly, I would say that when I read this a Bible text by myself in my quiet home, and I read it by myself, how this word, this living word, it cares for my soul and mind, how these thousands of years old Testament texts, they all of a sudden become so vivid and living as they were spoken to me today. It truly is the might and power of God's word that we witness when we read the Bible.